could hear this sound. With 21 correspondents in 7 countries from around the world, this is Bondi Tunes International.
You're listening to Bondi Tunes International, broadcasting around the world, and we welcome our listeners on FM in Australia and New Zealand. Now, our Australian political correspondent, Adam Devlin, joins me from Brisbane, and our correspondent in Melbourne is Melissa Greimer, and she joins me as well. Welcome to the show.
Welcome, welcome.
Hi, guys. You know, it still throws me when you say Brisbane, Henry. I'm still used to that myself.
You'll be moving out of Brisbane by the time you get used to it. I've got to tell you guys, I'm a bit depressed today.
Why, Henry?
Well, I couldn't have any lettuce or tomato on my sandwich because I can't afford them.
How much was the lettuce where you shop?
I don't know. Caroline does the shopping. Yes, Adam.
Henry, you own property. You own several properties.
Yes.
just take another mortgage out for a bowl of fruit and veggie.
Online shopping at Flemington Market is my question, because I'm shopping at Vic Market. And I paid $3.80 for a cost lettuce last week.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Oh, nobody likes a show off.
No one likes a lettuce snob. Okay.
That's just veg porn.
Yes. Okay. We're going to talk all about vape today. And I want to, on the onset, say that I am a vapor. I vape. But I am also a broadcast journalist, and I'm politically correct, not in the Fox News sense, but in the Bondi Tunes International sense. So I will not be taking sides on this. Now, Four Corners is an investigative current affairs show which airs on the national broadcaster, the ABC, every Monday night here in Australia. Four Corners did a special on vaping. Just to explain some of this stuff in case you don't know, liquid nicotine is actually illegal in Australia, but it's not in the UK, New Zealand, America, and many other places. Liquid nicotine is the stuff you put in your vaping machine. I call it a vaping machine. The vaping machine is basically a tank that you use to suck in vaporized liquid, as against smoke when you smoke tobacco. The liquid that you suck in can either have nicotine in it or not. Adam, I just want to first, I know that neither of you vape. Definitely not you, Adam, because, you know, back in 1989 and 1990, when we worked in the beautiful leafy suburb of Redfern at TNT, just about everyone, including the manager, our manager, Leslie, smoked. But you didn't. It must have driven you friggin' crazy.
It did drive me crazy. And this was back in the day when you actually were allowed to smoke at your desk whilst working.
Yes, yes.
And so the office I was in, there were about 4 or 5 people in the office at one point, and everyone else in there except me smoked. And I used to go home at the end of the day stinking as if I'd been in a nightclub all night, when in actual fact I'd had none of the joy of a nightclub. In fact, I'd been in an office.
During the day. And not even drunk.
And I was sober.
Melissa,
I just want to start, Henry, if I could just also say that, sure. As you've just mentioned, I don't vape and I don't smoke cigarettes, but I do drink alcohol and I do smoke cannabis.
How do you do the cannabis? You would do that very similar to vaping, wouldn't you, with the cannabis?
It's similar, yeah, but it's not vaping as such.
No.
But I don't smoke it in a joint.
Mm. Okay, well, I can see why. I can see why not, I should say. Melissa, I know that you don't vape. I think you mentioned...
It's prefaced by the fact that I don't... Mm. Did you guys hear that beep?
No.
Sorry, that must have been on me.
It's okay.
But yeah, so I just wanted to say that from the outset... I don't smoke tobacco. I do smoke cannabis. So that's where I'm coming from with all of this today.
Okay. Melissa, I know that you don't vape, but I think that you've had a cigarette or two from time to time.
So I've never been what I would consider a smoker. You may call me a social smoker in that I might have a cigarette sometimes when I drink, but it's definitely not every time I drink. Mm. I tend to smoke cigarettes if I'm stressed, i.e. if I'm having boy troubles. Mm-hmm. But then when I smoke, I might have a cigarette a day to make me feel a little bit better if I'm, you know, got some anxiety about boys. But it can be very few and far between, so I don't consider myself a smoker at all. I have tried vaping. I didn't enjoy it, and my thought was, if you're gonna have tobacco, why wouldn't you just have the real thing instead of this chemical manufactured You know, it's like when you have, you know, fake caramel in a milkshake instead of having real caramel. I'd rather have the real caramel.
Oh, I hear you, yes. Yeah. Okay, now, I want to mention a company called Juul. J-U-U-L is an American company. It's worth $38 billion. It was in 2018. The government in America are closing this down. $38 billion with a B, by the way. Two guys at Stanford University, both smokers, thought, let's do this and make it really cool and trendy for the young'uns, you know? And they actually moved an office. They got an office in China and were closed down in less than a week. The Chinese want their people to keep smoking, I'm thinking. Now, the cigarette companies have been pumping money into Juul and other manufacturers of e-products. Juul Labs gets $12.8 billion investment from Marlboro. Now, the maker of Marlboro, which is the Altria Group, the largest cigarette producers in the world. What do you guys think of the fact that the cigarette companies are jumping on this wagon? Are they fearful that people are just going to stop smoking?
In the short answer to that is yes. The number of people smoking is in decline right around the world. So the tobacco industry would obviously be looking at vaping as a way of shoring up their profits and therefore maintaining their shareholders and keeping the company going. So I have absolutely no surprise or shock that big tobacco, in inverted commas, is investing in vaping. I would be stunned if they weren't.
Yeah. Well, now, this is crazy. I actually sometimes wonder if the Australian government want people to keep smoking. How much do you guys think the government in Australia makes on tobacco tax per year? Give me a number.
As in dollar-wise or a percentage?
Dollar-wise.
Well, a packet of cigarettes on average here is about 54 Australian dollars compared to being, say, $3 in Thailand. So it's billions, billions. 20 billion?
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah, Adam?
I would have said a little bit higher. I would have said probably somewhere between 40 to 50 billion.
Okay, the figure is 15 billion.
That's surprisingly low.
Oh, God, I just can't get my head around it.
To us having a population of, what, 24 million?
And less people are smoking. You know, it's just unbelievable. 15 billion per year. And that's in the last fiscal year.
I have a stash of cigarettes. And during COVID, I was getting quite anxious because I refused to buy them in Australia and pay that money. But it just goes to show you how much I don't smoke. But I had to wait until someone got to go overseas again to top up my stash. So I currently have, you know, six packets that I've got from Thailand. But it's also problematic getting them into Australia because now you can only bring in 40 cigarettes.
That's
like
right.
40 actual smokes.
Yes.
And you can have one open packet and one packet aside from the open packet. So every time someone goes anywhere,
how does that work, Melissa, when packs are now packs of 50?
No, overseas they're like packs of 20 or 25.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to bring in
A little funny side story,
yeah,
if I may.
Sure, of course.
Very quickly. I have a photo which I've put on Facebook a couple of times. When I was at primary school, in fifth class at primary school, we had a dress-up day, and my mother had forgotten about it completely until the night before when I reminded her. And my mother was a huge smoker, chain-smoked her whole adult life. Mm. Her favourite cigarette...
Probably don't smoke.
Yeah. Her favourite brand of cigarettes was Black and White. And she rushed up to the street, bought a heap of cardboard and stuff, came home, made me my dress-up costume for school the next day, which was a huge packet of Black and White cigarettes. and I went to school dressed as a packet of cigarettes.
Oh, my God. Sign of the times or what?
Could you imagine if she did that today? If that happened to a mother today, they'd have the children taken off them.
Yes, they'd be going into care, that's for damn sure. I want to bring in some audio grabs into this interview that we're doing on vaping. Now, Professor Anne Kelso is a CEO of the National Health and Medical Research Council here in Australia. Take a listen.
Research has found that when smokers use nicotine e-cigarettes, it was more common for them to become dual users of e-cigarettes and tobacco cigarettes than to quit. Dual users breathe in more chemicals and toxins than people who only use one type of cigarette. There's the very big concern of the so-called gateway effect, that it leads people on to feel familiar with smoking and then to think of taking up tobacco cigarettes.
Right, now, we've got to talk about the kiddies, folks. I just want to quote what I call a random teenage vapor. Okay? She said, "It's the last thing you do before you go to sleep. It's the first thing you do when you wake up. Sometimes you wake up a couple of times during the night to hit it and then go back to sleep. Like it's totally got a hold on you and it's the only thing you think about," says random teenage vapor. Mm. She's got a point.
That's called addiction.
Indeed it is.
I don't see how it's any different to smoking.
No, I agree.
Well, and, in terms of nicotine, yes.
You know, nicotine is, of course, an incredibly addictive substance, harder to get off than heroin.
This is absolutely true. It is the most addictive substance on Earth, yeah. It's more addictive than speed, it's ice, all that stuff. It's more addictive.
Yep. So, you know, we live in a liberal democracy. We live in a society that says that you take responsibility for your own actions.
Yes.
And so if this product, nicotine, is legal, and it is, then if you want to use it, you should be able to use it. Mm. I have, you know, personally, I don't ever want nicotine in my body. I've had it in my body once or twice, and I've hated what it's done to me each time I've done it.
You just had a cigarette or something, yeah?
I had two or three puffs on a cigarette when I was about 14 and hated what it did to me. And then I've been at parties and such where people have mixed tobacco in with marijuana.
Mm-hmm. So you don't have that normal. Is that a 90s thing? Because that's how I always known it was done.
Well, this would have been, I've only been smoking cannabis for the last, I was mid-40s when I was, mid-40s when I
You sure you're not? Cannabis. You sure you're not stoned, Adam?
No, I'm not. I can assure you. I've just walked in from driving around the bloody city of Brisbane.
Indeed.
But no, I only started smoking cannabis about 10 years ago.
Right.
Is the purpose of putting tobacco in the marijuana just to make it go further?
I think so. I can't imagine why else they would do it.
That's how we did it as teenagers.
But Adam, unless they also want that hit from tobacco as well.
Adam,
So the couple of times.
Yes.
Go on, Henry.
I was going to say that I think the reason you started smoking grass, correct me if I'm wrong, is because you were in pain.
Yeah. I use it medicinally. It helps me with stress and anxiety. It helps me with my PTSD. It helps me with insomnia. And it helps me with chronic back pain. So for me, although I enjoy using it, it's completely medicinal.
Melissa, smoke grass?
Look, I have done it as a teenager, and I do what you call green out. I think there was a lot of dodgy stuff going around, and I think once I had it, it was laced with ketamine. And I didn't know it at the time, but I used to hallucinate quite a bit. And it
was
makes me
fun?
Very paranoid. it was. But now, if you gave me a toke, I mean, I haven't had anything in years, but if you gave me a toke now, back then I would be in the fetal position in the corner, and as a chatty person, you wouldn't recognize me because I'd be talking.
And indeed, you are a chatty person. And, you know, Adam, I just want to mention that at the age of 14, when you had that cigarette, it was the best thing that ever the best thing that ever happened to you. It was the best thing that ever happened to you.
Absolutely.
I'm allergic to it. I just, you know, I get stoned and I just go nuts. I don't go paranoid like you, Melissa. I just go stupid. I don't get violent or anything. How can you on grass, for goodness sake?
So you just go stupid. So you're smoking it all the time, are you, Henry?
I haven't. It was kind of peer pressure back in the 90s, but I was kind of allergic to it, and it just made me silly, especially mixing it with alcohol. And I can't smoke it. Even the smell of grass makes me feel sick. So that's a good thing, isn't it? I want to tell you something that I find interesting. Back in the 1970s and 80s, teenagers hid smoking from their parents Now, parents are hiding their smoking from their kids. Isn't that interesting?
My friends do that with their
kids. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah, really? But now my friends' kids are like 13. They're just out in the open. I'm like, what happened? They go, well, they're a bit older now, and they're not stupid. Okay.
Anyone in your family smoke, Melissa?
My father was a smoker. He smoked a pack of Winfield Reds a day. So they're like the 12 or 16 milligram cigarettes. Mm. Smoked them my whole life. And then I have a brother who's 10 years younger than me. And when he was a baby, he was crawling around on the floor and he ate a packet of my dad's cigarettes, which he vomited up. So there was tobacco everywhere. And my dad's like, right, that's a sign I need to quit. So my dad quit at the age of 38. And he never took it up again. Whereas
does your brother who ate the cigarettes, does he smoke?
No, he doesn't. None of us kids smoke. I don't know if he's ever had a cigarette in his life, actually. My other was an occasional smoker. I don't think he is now. But what I find interesting is I've got a couple of girlfriends who were smokers, you know, all through their 20s and 30s, and they quit, and they've both gone back to it and then had to quit again several times. Oh. Something's led them back to the cigarette and they just love it so much.
Did they try vaping?
No.
That's surprising.
Like, I've got a friend, she had thyroid cancer, so she had to quit smoking, but she's gone back to it a couple of times. And she's had a thyroid removed, but, you know, I mean, they both just really enjoy cigarettes.
Yeah.
I watched the Four Corners episode last night about vaping, and there were a couple of things in it that I found really interesting, and one of them was that some people were saying that vaping has helped them cut their cigarette use or stopped smoking completely. And then the flip side, where other people were saying that vaping leads people to smoke. And it's like, I don't understand. I mean, I get that different people react to things differently. What I don't understand is how people think that one product, that everybody universally will have the same reaction to it.
It's like marijuana is a gateway drug, Adam, and we all know that that's not true, but they like to say that.
Marijuana is only a gateway drug because you have to buy it illegally, so you're dealing with drug dealers to get it, and then they of course present other drugs to you. Could buy marijuana legally in a chemist and you just walk in and buy it off the shelf, you're not being exposed to any of these other more harsh illegal drugs.
View. I just want to say that, you know, I've been studying this for 4 years, the whole vaping thing, and I found that show quite poorly presented because there were so many inaccuracies about it. I know because I've studied the crap out of this for 4 years, and that reporter was very young. It's like she was just out of journo school. I'm not trying to criticize too much. She did a good job, but there was a lot of stuff that just wasn't right in that report. And
I found her uncompelling, I must say.
Well, she's very young. What's she doing on a flagship program like Four Corners, for goodness sake? And by the way, vaping is not a gateway to smoking. That is a myth. I've seen hundreds of reports on this. It's not. Maybe one person out of 500,000.
For others, it's going to help them stop smoking.
Absolutely.
There's not a blanket rule here that applies to everyone.
No, and that's your point.
Put it into context. Right. A packet of cigarettes is on average $54, right? Yeah. I bought a packet for a friend recently. And that was for a packet of, what are they, 2025s?
Yeah.
How does that compare with the cost of vaping as to whether it's a gateway to cigarettes or not?
Well, that's a very good point, because I vape, and I would say that it costs me about $2 a month. $2 a month. And I'm serious about that.
And $2 to $54, like
a pop
every few days.
On a day, yeah.
That's right.
When you vape, Henry, are you vaping with nicotine or without?
Oh, with nicotine. You see, I've got a theory about this. It's not a theory, it's a fact, actually. Molecularly, which is a word I can't say easily, nicotine.
Try spelling it.
I'd have. I always have to go to Google and spell check that. In a molecular sense, nicotine is very similar to caffeine. Now, you know, a lot of people don't talk about this, but it is true. Now, as I mentioned earlier on, the Australian government is banning liquid nicotine, and I do have a feeling it's all to do with the amount of money they're making out of people buying conventional cigarettes. So, you know, nicotine is actually in a lot of things. It's in fruit, it's in vegetables, but not in the amount.
Oh, well, it's
obviously
a naturally occurring product.
Yeah. And it's very like caffeine. And my point is, if the Australian government decided to ban caffeine in coffee, the country would close down.
Absolutely.
Just close down. Sorry, Melissa.
Melbourne would cease to exist.
Yes, and, especially Melbourne.
It'd certainly never get back to the most livable city again.
No.
They'd be very angry.
The low economic demographics and housing estates would have a real issue with not getting their energy drinks.
Mm, absolutely.
Mm. Well, it's just an interesting point that the media don't tell you that. You know, doctors, you know, have said that they're just very similar, nicotine and caffeine. So I'm just wondering why there's all this push to, I mean, I understand it's bad for kids to get addicted to anything, but we're all getting addicted to caffeine from the age of whatever as a child.
I don't drink coffee at all. I can't stand it. Don't like the taste.
You don't drink coffee at all.
I can't even have a tiramisu because I don't like coffee at all. And I live in Melbourne. Go figure.
Oh, you should be sent back to Sydney. Adam, what about you with coffee?
Look, I drink coffee occasionally. I did have a coffee addiction years ago.
You did?
Where I got quite ill from it.
Oh.
Where I would literally, I was in a high-pressure job. This is in the early 90s. High-pressure job.
Well, it wasn't TNT because that wasn't a high-pressure job.
No, it wasn't.
We were organising ABBA parties.
Yeah, it was the job I went to after TNT, and let me tell you, it was quite a shock.
The real world.
The real world. Oh, my God, are you expecting me to work?
Anyway.
And so I would turn up at work at 6:30 in the morning, and I had a coffee cup the size of a bucket on my desk.
Yes.
And I would go and fill that with instant hot coffee in the morning, and that cup never got empty all day, and I would finish work at about 6:30 in the evening. So I was doing like 12-hour days, and I would just drink instant coffee all day. And I actually got to the point where I had to go to the doctor, and they were running tests on me because I was having heart palpitations. I was massively sweating. I couldn't sleep. My head was a complete shambles. Mm. And eventually they tested everything, and they were going, there's some sort of artificial stimulant. What drugs are you using? And I'm going, at that point, I was going, alcohol occasionally, when I go out most nights. Okay, I wasn't smoking cannabis at that time, and that's hardly a stimulant. And I was going, no, there's nothing. And they were going, well, do you drink coffee? And I went, well, yeah, of course I drink coffee. Everyone does. And they said, well, how much coffee do you have a day? And I told them, and they went,
a couple of jugs.
You need to stop drinking coffee. And it was the hardest thing for me to give up. The hardest thing.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Gee, you should
try. I ended up leaving that job so that I could break that habit.
Oh, my God. I mean, you should try, you know, if you were a smoker. It's harder than caffeine, trust me. Right, I just want to do an audio grab here from Professor Paul Kelly, who's been in the news a lot lately because he's a doctor, don't you know? He's a chief medical officer here in Australia. Take a listen.
So we know the devastation that has had in Australia over many decades. Nicotine is a very addictive drug. And we need to make our efforts very strong with our young people to protect them from that lifelong issue, if that's the way it's leading. What's clear to me from the statement is that the only thing we should be breathing in is air. There's no question that there are potential harms from e-cigarette use for those who have never smoked, and we know the harms of smoking. Please discuss this evidence with your children, with your nieces and nephews, your students, players in your football or netball team, your brothers and sisters. We need that conversation out there. We need these matters to be barbecue stoppers.
So that's Paul Kelly saying, talk to your kids.
Sizzle. I want the vape.
I want to smoke.
I want the vape.
I want to smoke.
I want the vape. I want the vape. I want the vape.
Well, I
want
to smoke.
Give me the juice.
Give me the juice.
Give me my mind.
Give me the mind.
5 clicks all it takes to turn it on.
Cause I want to smoke. I want to smoke.
I want the vape.
I want to smoke.
I want to smoke.
I want to smoke.
Well, I want the vape.
Give me the gas.
Give me the kush.
Put it all in my blunt so I get a push.
I want that roofless, that great drink, keep it all on ice. Let me get 2 60 ml bottles, 3 Nick, yeah, that's nice. Gotta go to Vape Law for vapors, good deals, good price. I know vaping is a healthy choice if you wanna live life right. I don't worry about any stress, cause when I vape, I'm calm. Nothing feels better than that drag or hex all in my palm. I've been vaping for 4 years, and yes, I feel great. I don't listen to the vape haters when their facts aren't straight. Let me tell you something about these vape shops. Good vibes when you pop up. Pool table, ping pong, even shuffleboard too. Doesn't matter what you wanna do. Some shops even got food. Tips on RDA, the bills they got. That loyalty purse keep you coming right back. I'm better, I gotta thank my boy Matty Q. Cause if it wasn't for you, I'd be still smoking cats and sticks, thinking that I was looking cool. But I really was a fool, trying to endanger my health. It's your boy V Sizzle. And here, yeah, vaping help. I want the vape.
I want to smoke.
I want the vape.
I want to smoke.
I want the vape. I want the vape. I want the vape.
Well, I
want
to smoke.
Give me the juice.
Give me the juice.
Give me my mind.
Give me the mind.
5 clicks all it takes to turn it on.
Cause I want to smoke.
I want the vape.
I want to smoke.
I want the vape.
I
want
to smoke.
I want to smoke.
I want to smoke.
Well, I want the vape.
Give me the gas.
Give me the kush.
Put it all in my blunt so I get a push.
I want good smoke, that good gas. Tell my puff puff, no pass. That's so loud, gotta skip class. Grade A, first class. That one drag, you know, man's land. Feel my scratch, blue dream, man. Grade A, my wing, man. Gorilla glue, so amazing. AK-47 got me spraying. Shout out to OG for never changing. Light us up, keep blazing. Weed smokers know what I'm saying. Boosted price, not paying. Air pack, very hated. Especially when it infiltrated. I taught this boy, yeah, I'm illustrated. Smoking great, just meditated. I like truly elevated. Smoking, smoke out, forever faded. There's no easy shit if you catch me baking. Chillin' at the spot, let the smoke out. Both at the smoke out. Looking similar to the smoke out. Find a roller, hot box, the wet keys, smoking to the car smoked out. Yo, bro, remember, cause my mind smoked out. Every smoke out, cause my vision balled out. Hold on, let me test my breath. When I'm blowing smoke out, so tell me who won't smoke now. Smoke does that is going off right now. Smoke this blood, but you cough right now. Roll one smoke, two smoke right now.
I want the vape.
I want to smoke.
I want the vape.
I want to smoke.
I want the vape. I want the vape. I want the vape.
Well, I
want
to smoke.
Give me the juice.
Give me the juice.
Give me my mind.
Give me the mind.
5 clicks all it takes to turn it on.
Cause I want to smoke.
I want the vape.
I want to smoke.
I want the vape.
I
want
to smoke.
I
want to smoke.
I
want to smoke.
Well, I want the vape.
Give me the gas.
From Australia, this is Bondi Tunes.
Should people, you know, I always think that teenagers are rebels, right? And he's saying, you know, tell your kids about the dangers of vaping. And by the way, if you just joined us, I'm talking with Melissa Greimer in Melbourne and Adam Devlin in Brisbane. I'm Henry for Bondi Tunes International on Bondi Beach in Sydney, Australia. It seems like, it reminds me of a campaign in America back in the 80s, I think, which said, just say no to drugs,
Nancy,
right? Do you remember?
Nancy's Just Say No.
Nancy Reagan, yes.
Can I ask, have you noticed that they've brought back an 80s anti-smoking ad on television in Australia?
No.
No.
So there was an 80s ad. I think it was the 80s, not the 90s, when it showed you how much tar is in your lungs, and it was one of the sponges that you wash the car with.
And they'll bring it out into a beaker, and it'll fill the beaker with
black
tar.
Stuff. Yeah.
That's back on television. I saw it several times last night.
Are you sure it's not a remake? Wow. Are you sure it's not a remake?
It's a remake, but it's the original footage.
Okay, so it's the original theme, I guess.
So they've rehashed it.
Oh, but they're using original footage. That's really interesting.
Well, it looks like the original. It could not be, but anyway, it's the same sponge and the same glass, and unlike the original, it says, you know, as soon as you stop, it's going to reduce the amount or something. Like, it doesn't, it's not as harsh as it was, but it's definitely the same ad. So clearly, it worked previously, and they're bringing it out again.
Lungs are like sponges designed to soak up air. but some people use their lungs to soak up cigarette smoke. If you could wring out the cancer-producing tar that goes into the lungs of a pack-a-day smoker every year, this is how much you'd get. It's enough to make you sick. Very sick. Authorised by the New South Wales Government, Sydney.
Which is, you know, public campaigns are great. They're all more for those. They cost a lot of money and their effectiveness is questionable, but it's good to get that message out there.
But they used to be really harsh.
Yeah, well, if they've softened it, if they've softened it somewhat, that's unfortunate. But I just want to say about last night's Four Corners report, the thing that disturbed me about vaping, and this is not to do with the method of vaping or the process of vaping or anything like that. The thing that really disturbed me was they did tests on a whole range of the vaping material. I don't know what you call it, the vaping which weren't labelled as nicotine, did not have nicotine in the list of ingredients, and yet they all tested to be very high in nicotine. Mm. And I find that disturbing because you quite innocently you could have people thinking, well, I'm just going to socially vape and I'll just use these flavoured ones, and it's just fruit vapor or whatever it is, flavourings. Regardless of the damage they could be causing to you, because there's not been a lot of research done on that. But I assume those flavourings are no different to the rest of the flavourings that are used in our food industry, so I'm assuming they're okay. But they weren't labelled as nicotine, and so people could be becoming addicted to nicotine without realising it. And I think that's a problem that needs to be addressed.
Yes, and there's a lot of bad players out there. I just want to mention here in Bondi, Bondi Junction, which is up the road from me, a major metropolis, if you like, in Sydney, a tobacconist got raided and it closed down. And it was because they were selling vapes, liquid nicotine stuff under the counter, and they got closed down. Isn't that something?
Go on, Melissa. Oh, I was going to say what's quite popular is in Melbourne is shisha bars. We have a large Muslim community, and instead of going to bars because they don't drink alcohol, they go to shisha bars. And where I live, there's at least three or four within close proximity to one another.
Now, do they have tobacco in them?
Well, it's flavored tobacco, yes.
So it does have nicotine.
Yes. Right. And if you want to buy a shisha, well, I haven't had one for a long time. The last time I went and had one, it was like $40 for a pipe.
Jesus. That's for like, expensive.
For like one puff or for a whole pipe full? I've never done it, so I don't know.
You get a shisha pipe and it's got... You get your tobacco, and one pipe costs like $40. But you could sit on that pipe with your friends and smoke for quite some time. But this is what a lot of the 18 plus demographic are doing, because they can't go out and drink. So these are really, really popular, these bars, and they
I've seen them popping up everywhere.
Yeah, they're huge here, and like in between lockdowns, I used to get really annoyed because they were giving out plastic nibs to go on the end of the pipe, right? So it was COVID safe, but you'd walk past the one on Lygon Street and the amount of plastic nibs on the ground was disgusting. Like from an environmental point, it just did my head in, but yeah, they are very, very, very popular.
I wonder why.
And I imagine that it's no. That's basically just a bong, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but it's just a
more elaborate, and all the rest of it. But it's essentially the same process as smoking a bong.
Yeah, and it's quite social. Like when I was working,
When
I was in Egypt and I was working there, I would do the shisha once a day because it was only two Egyptian pounds, like 50 cents Australian. And I was dieting, so I'd have, I'd sit there. If I was on a bus and we'd have a break, I'd go out and get the shisha pipe out, and I'd have a shisha instead of something to eat. I lost a lot of weight.
Well, now, there was, sorry, Melissa, there was nicotine in that, yes?
Yes, yes, yes.
And you never got addicted to nicotine, though. This is what you talk about, having a cigarette every now and again. But some people, they just don't get addicted to nicotine. It's very interesting.
Yeah, but it was like you'd have honey flavored or strawberry flavored or apple flavored.
It's just like vaping. So. It's just like vaping.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's the original vape, right?
No, I mean in terms of flavors. Yeah. In terms of flavors, it's actually like vaping.
They've got it from the shishas.
Mm, interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. They've been around. Long time.
Adam, I want to ask you a couple of things here because you're older than Melissa, but younger than me. Back in the 90s, you had a boyfriend for a number of years, I do understand, who smoked a lot. How did that affect you?
Yes. We lived together as lovers for 7 years, and I would guesstimate that in that 7 years, we kissed probably 5 times.
Oh, you're kidding me.
I've had 3 boyfriends that I've lived with, and they've all been smokers.
Yeah. Just if there's tobacco on your breath, I will not kiss you.
Well, you're not kissing me anytime soon. actually.
Oh, Henry, you break my heart.
You never kissed.
I still smoke, but not very much. Like, Adam, when you came to Sydney and you came to visit me, I was smoking like a trooper because I smoke when I drink and I don't drink during the week.
It's a social thing, yeah.
And I just thought, and you were very kind to let me smoke in my house. But your boyfriend, did he smoke in your house? I mean, we've got to bear in mind that we're talking the 90s, I think, Adam.
Yeah.
And people... Yeah. Smokers weren't trained to smoke outside their apartment or house.
When we first moved in together, he used to smoke in bed.
That is so 1960s.
He would wake up in the middle of the night to have a cigarette in bed.
Gosh.
I soon let him know, like pretty much night number one, that if that was going to happen, then I would be sleeping in a different bed.
Wow.
And he learnt very quickly that I was intolerant of smoking in the house. He would smoke in the house, but not in the same room I was in. So if we were in the lounge room, for example, and he wanted to have a cigarette, he'd go and stand in the kitchen and have it or something instead of sitting next to me smoking. So he was considerate in that sense. Certainly, well, when the 7 years that we were together, we slept together the whole time. He stopped. If he wanted to have a cigarette in the middle of the night, he would get up and leave the room and go somewhere else to have that.
So dangerous smoking in bed as well, you know, because you could fall asleep.
My uncle had a piece of corrugated iron, and he used to have that under the bed. He would slide it out when he was in bed, and he would just drop the cigarette ash onto the corrugated iron. And if he ever fell asleep in bed, the cigarette would drop on the iron. And he had this whole board, and I never knew about this. And I went to his house once, and I saw it, and I was just
like, wow.
Well, there was so many cigarette butts on it. I was just like, that is insane. But just talking about boyfriend smoking, when I was living in Turkey and I had a Turkish partner, I didn't allow smoking in the house. And so when he had visitors over, I would force them onto the balcony. And in Turkey, gosh, that was unheard of.
But it's not a big ask when you think about it. They don't have to leave the house.
How dare your female partner dictate where we smoke?
Yeah, Melissa, I did want to ask you about boyfriends and smoking because you're not really a smoker. You've given it a go. How irritating, asking Adam about his boyfriend smoking for 7 years together. Do you have a problem with, or have you had a problem, particularly you're talking about a Turkish guy? I mean, obviously in the Middle East and Europe, they smoke a hell of a lot more than they do in, let's say, America or Australia. What were your experience?
The Swiss boyfriend was very conscious of never, like, smelling like smoke, so he always carried Mentos. I hate to think about the state of his teeth with all that sugar that he was ingesting.
Wow.
I don't remember ever being put off by kissing them after a cigarette. There was a guy that I was seeing for the last 12 months, just very casually, and he smoked and Right, the times that he's come over and he's kissed me after having a cigarette before he got here, he's tasted like an ashtray, and it's been really unappealing, and I haven't liked it. But the ex-boyfriends, they don't stick in my mind. What I remember more is them kissing me in the morning after having coffee and me going, oh, that's gross, don't come near me. So I'm not by coffee on someone's breath and cigarette smoke.
Yeah, you know, back in the 1970s, I was in boarding school in Ireland, and we could listen to Radio Luxembourg, which is a radio station that comes out of Luxembourg. But at 6 p.m. they'd have an English service, and they were on AM, and they broadcast all over Europe. And they used to have these ads, these radio ads, 30-second commercials, say, with a guy on a beach with a girl, and the guy would go to kiss the girl, and she'd go, no, you stink of smoke. And this is the 1970s, really? When everyone smoked. But this ad campaign, I don't know, I think the British government supplied it, were actually at that time pushing an anti-smoking thing. And, you know, at the age of 15, I certainly didn't smoke. But we just sort of thought, it didn't seem, I was talking to the other guys in the dorm, they just thought, nah. What is this about? Because we don't smoke, you know.
Well, you know what's interesting? Yes.
Yeah. Sorry. No. Go on.
Well, you know, as I talk about being online all the time, and you know, you've got guys' profiles and what's a non-negotiable and all the rest of it, and there are a lot of men who say no smokers, please. So many profiles like smoke. What's a deal breaker for you? Smoking. There are a lot of men out there who just refuse to date anyone that smokes.
Yeah.
But there's also still a lot of men that
charged.
But there's also a lot of men that you come across that still smoke. Like, you'll see the smoke in their profile pictures, or they'll list themselves as a smoker on their profile. And I've got to admit, why I like the odd cigarette every now and then, very rare, I don't want to date a smoker moving forward. Yeah. So if someone says that they smoke, and sorry, Henry, because I know that you're a smoker, but I just think to myself, oh, it's a really dirty habit.
Of course it is. Yeah. That's why I started vaping. I only smoke 10% of the time these days, and only when I'm drunk, which is what I was when Adam came to visit me. I just want to talk about nightclubs. Back in the 90s, when we used to go clubbing in Oxford Street, Sydney, the Exchange, and oh my God, apart from the sticky floors from the beer, smoke in that place.
Next morning, when you would wake up and your room, even though you're not a smoker, you just wake up and your bedroom would reek of cigarettes, and you go, what the hell? And then you'd pick up your clothes from the night before, and
it would
just go, oh my God, they just... It's just like somebody has tipped a bucket load of cigarettes onto my clothing.
We're probably over the age of going nightclubbing. I don't know if you do, but I don't. But it must be very refreshing for people.
I mean, I still go out, so yes.
I still go out.
Is it better? I mean, it's a...
God, yes.
It's a rhetorical question.
1,000% better.
Yeah.
I love the fact that I can go out for a night, even if it's only for a few hours out. And I can just come home and I don't smell like an ashtray.
And you can wear your clothes again and you don't have to wash your hair.
Exactly. I can, not that I'm doing it now, but, you know, back in the day, if I would go out, I was single, I would go out, I would to a nightclub, I'd pick up for the night. We'd go home, whether it be to my place or his. Whatever would happen would happen. The next morning, I would have to put those clothes on, and just picking them up, they would just be... These smell revolting. I don't want to put these on my body. But of course, if you're at their place, you have to.
Well, you kind of have to, don't you? Yeah.
Yeah, and then you've got to get home reeking. And it was just... It was the worst part of going out for me, was putting up with the stench of tobacco.
Okay.
I came back from, you know, friend's house back in January, and I left in a hurry, and I'd taken his clothes with me, and I pulled this shirt out, and I could smell it instantly, and it was just on his floor, and it stank like cigarette because he smokes in his room. It's gross.
Just getting back to vaping, which is what this is all about, and we've got it, as usual, we're going way over time, but what the hell. Adam Devlin is in Brisbane, and Melissa Grima is in Melbourne, and I won't keep you too much longer. I just want to go back to vaping for a second. There's a huge war going on, obviously, between the AMA, both the American Medical Association, and the Australian Medical Association. Happen to have the same AMA in them. They hate all this stuff. They're anti-smoking, but they're also anti-vaping. The cigarette companies are going on board and trying to pump money into vaping because they're afraid they're going to lose their business. Do you think that the AMA in both America and Australia are kind of not playing fair with this? Because I've read a lot about this stuff, this vaping thing, and it's been proven by three independent studies, the word independent is very important, that vaping is 95% safer than smoking. Why can't the AMA at least acknowledge that? Because they won't. What do you think of that?
Who's the independent study? Because don't forget, there were independent studies about the COVID vaccine, and they were actually led by Pfizer.
Yes.
So can we find out who's behind them?
I don't know. I did this 3 years ago, so I don't know. I can't remember
who they are. There's the issue we mentioned earlier about taxation. And, you know, you've had the figure there, Henry, $15 billion a year that the Australian government is pulling in from tobacco excise.
Yeah.
And that isn't applied to vaping at this point. It will at some point, I'm assuming. I can only imagine that at some point a government will go, well, vaping needs to be taxed in the same regime that tobacco is. They'll bring in a nicotine tax.
Yeah, but good call. The thing about vaping is that the Australian government stubbornly will not allow liquid nicotine, even though New Zealand, Britain, America and other countries do.
Yet.
Okay. Maybe. Well, I don't know if they're going to be beaten by this. And you've got to remember plain packaging. Remember plain packaging, folks?
Yep.
Where they put ugly pictures of people dying from smoking and lung cancer, and they're still on these plain packaging. Australia was the first in the world to do this.
And then actually banned labelling, so you couldn't even put a brand on it.
No.
Can I ask a question? Mm? Isn't there a law in New Zealand about you can't buy cigarettes if you're born after a certain year because they don't want anyone smoking and taking it up as a new habit?
It's an interesting one, isn't it? Just explain that one to you guys.
Oh, go ahead, Adam.
Well, what I was going to say is that's absolutely right, and that will come in here as well eventually at some point. Big tobacco knows that their industry is dead, just waiting to fall over.
Yeah.
And so they're seeing vaping as a way of continuing their profit streams, which, you know, no issue with that. The thing with vaping, and this is what I think I like about vaping, I've only really thought about vaping in the last couple of days, Henry, since we've been planning this conversation today. And that is, it's much easier to regulate or control the amount of nicotine you're using when you vape as opposed to if you smoke cigarettes.
Very good point.
Yeah, so you can't control how much people are going to vape compared to having a cigarette.
No, you can't. That's true. But if you really want to cut your nicotine use, one of the easiest ways to do that is to use vaping with non-nicotine vapes and then go to your doctor and get a prescription for liquid nicotine and wean yourself off it that way. And that's what a lot of people are doing with vaping from the research I've done in the last few days. Now, that's not for everyone, of course, because no problem has one solution that suits everybody. If you go to a doctor and you get prescribed liquid nicotine and you to use in vaping, of course, if you're a nicotine addict and your addiction isn't under control, you're going to abuse that supply of nicotine.
Yeah, I just want to explain what you're talking about.
Please do, because I don't really know what I'm talking about.
You certainly do. The situation with the federal government, the last federal government that we had, is that you go to a doctor, you get a prescription, and then you go online and you can order the liquid nicotine from New Zealand. I don't think you can order it from anywhere else. New Zealand liquid nicotine is quite legal. It's perfectly legal. And that's the way you do it. But my problem with this is that medical doctors are in bed with pharmaceutical companies. And this
and big tobacco.
And big tobacco, of course, as we mentioned earlier on. How much money are they making from that, you know? And it's interesting that, you know, they're tying everything into this system where you have to go to your doctor. So the doctor gets money for you visiting the doctor. If you go to the chemist to buy, you know, other NRTs, nicotine replacement therapies, they get money. This is all seems like a big bad scheme to me. I'm very sinister about this whole thing.
You should be.
Oh, look, absolutely. It's unfortunately, the health of consumers in any of these sort of forms of government regulation is never the in the top five things that they consider.
Mm.
You know, first and foremost is what's our tax grab here.
Yes.
And how do we recoup that if we stop this product? Mm. And that's why I think nicotine is going to be taxed as opposed to cigarettes being taxed, because we now have multiple avenues of consuming nicotine, which aren't cigarettes. So the government will one day wake up to themselves and go, oh, we're taxing tobacco, we should be taxing nicotine.
It's very, very interesting, Adam. I never thought of it like that. Now, just before we go, I just want to play this. I don't know if you guys heard the third clip that I sent you about the guys.
These are hysterical.
It's so funny, and that's only part of it. We don't have enough airtime to play the whole thing. It's just to explain, it's two guys acting out a scene of a dude going into a shop to buy vapes. Take a listen.
Derek, you got to go in and buy them because you look the oldest.
But it's scary. What if they don't even sell them in here?
No, they do for sure, because my older brother said that him and his year 7 mates buy them here all the time.
Oh, okay.
You got this, Derek.
Hey, boss. How you going? How can I help you?
do you guys sell disposable vapes?
No, we do not sell vapes here. The sale of nicotine is illegal in Australia, and we have nothing but respect for the judicial system.
I'm not a cop.
Oh, sweet, yeah. No, of course we do. I'll let you just have a flip through here. These are our flavours. So in that, you'll see that pages 1 to 30 are just, you know, the standard flavours, grape, apple, blah, 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 blah. And then 30 through to 50, we got a bit more premium flavours, you know, like you got your red wines and stuff in there. And then 50 to 75, that's our really super exotic shit that we just got in.
What kind of stuff is in there?
You know, just the usual flavors. We got flamethrower, petrol, we got the Nangs flavor. That one's pretty cooked. We got Minecraft, cheesy nuggets. We've also got this weird ass new one called Texas Chainsaw Massacre. That one tastes a bit like, well, I actually have no idea what to compare that to. I've never once in my life tasted something that's even close to what that tasted like. So I have no idea what to even, you know, tell you. But the reviews are pretty shocking. So, yeah, probably not go with that.
That was lovely, wasn't it? I mean, the way they did this, because they're actually anti-vaping, you know. And it just cracked me up. I thought that was great.
They should have ended last night's Four Corners program with that clip.
They should have.
It just reminds me of the 90s when you watched bad soap operas and they were trying to give you the message that, you know, drinking's bad, okay? Drugs are bad, okay? Vaping's bad, okay?
Teenage sex is bad.
Okay.
Just say no. Just say no. Okay.
Just
how
say no.
Was that?
We got to go. Adam Devlin and Melissa Greemer, thank you so much for joining me here on Bondi Tunes.
Thanks,
it's
Henry.
This is Bondi Tunes International. This is Real Radio.
stomach.
Henry O'Donovan.